And we're on in five, four, three, two.
Welcome to the Prop 215 Info Center Radio Show. The world's only authoritative podcast. Helping patients from all over the globe continue to heal and experience the wonders of medical cannabis. Ladies and gentlemen, your host and director of the Prop 215 Info Center from downtown Modesto, California, Mr. Mark Gray.
Okay, put them together.
Hey, welcome to Prop 215 Info Center Radio Podcast. Listen to Mark Gray, the director of Prop 215 Info Center, located in beautiful downtown Modesto, California, right next door to the Historic State Theater. Mikey, how are you?
Say hey, hey. What's happening, Mark?
In the house. I'm having a good week going on, and I know that you have loaded up some money at Still Smoking. You want to win that bong.
Yeah, I got the golden ticket. I'm hoping it's the golden ticket. I spent my $1. I walked home instead of getting my cash.
You'll do anything for a bong. I know.
Well, it's a gorgeous Shaolin Black bong that they're raffling off there. It's Still Smoking, or Water Pipe is what it is. So wish me luck, everybody.
You have all my hope and dreams that you win that thing. Thank you.
I want to know where you get a cab for a dollar.
I was hoping nobody was going to question that. But
you can ride the bus for a dollar.
In front of the 99 cent store.
In front of the 99 cent store.
Mo, how you doing, brother?
Check that out.
Living the dream of a growth star, you know what I mean?
A growth star, no doubt. You still working the stamp?
I still got the stamp.
It's right there. It's glistening. I think he shined it up.
Mo, we introduced your folks here today. What's up?
Yes.
Well, we got back Flower Bed in the house.
Give it up for Flower Bed Fred. Familiar face.
Familiar.
Then we got the Royal Himes.
Himes, Royal Himes.
What's up, everybody? How you guys doing today?
We're doing fabulous. Give it up for Himes.
The Himes.
Yeah, Royal Himes.
Yeah, the Royal Himes. How you been, man? We haven't seen you in a while.
I'm doing good. I'm feeling positive right now. Very, very positive about the upcoming months.
Good. How's your education going along, by the way?
Learning every day. Good. Every day learning something new,
You're a college student, though, right?
Yeah. Actually, just enjoying I guess you can call this summer.
I know. I don't see any of your backpack suntan lines, so that's why I'm like, what the heck's going on? It's just weather. It's crazy weather.
Yeah, that's missing.
And we're going to talk about that crazy weather here in a minute.
Yeah, it is. Actually, with this weather, it's going to be more of a indoor advantage rather than the outdoor.
We're going to talk about that. Yeah. I had a phone call earlier from a couple of our patients, and they wanted to talk about that, and we're going to get into that a little bit more here soon.
What else do we got coming up on the show here, Mark?
What else we got coming up on the show? We have some interesting information from our Attorney General, Eric Holder. He has made another statement about medical marijuana. We're going to talk about that in a little while. We're going to talk about some facts about marijuana, medical marijuana throughout the country. Last week, if y'all remember, we talked briefly about different states and their legislative numbers and all that. We're going to get a little deeper into that, more facts for y'all to learn. And it's very interesting, too, because it's pretty much runs at about 2% statewide every state, but we'll get more into that also. What else you got going on, Mikey?
Well, I was just going to continue with last week's segment. We covered, as you were just mentioning right now, the states and mm-hmm. their assimilation of our Prop 215 bill. So just so everybody out there can be educated and know what other states out there are doing what and whatnot.
Also this week, too, the World Council of the World Council on Drug Policy had a big meeting, a world global event, discussing the failed drug policies of the entire world in regards to illegal drugs and how it's not necessarily a war on drugs, it's more a war on people. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that as well. I think that's the biggest problem we're having right now. People getting caught up. If you get stopped with one joint in your pocket, you cannot go to college on a grant. You cannot get a federal loan for that. You cannot get an SBA loan for a Small Business Administration loan. You cannot get public housing. One joint ruins your life, and it'll carry with you for the next 60, 70 years, however long you walk the planet.
Wow. We got a lot to talk about this show, Mark. A lot of information. So I'm going to go ahead and just dive right in.
Let's get it.
And I'm going to name off five more states that have legalized themselves, voted to legalize and stop the prosecution. I just want to recap really quick. Last week, that I mentioned here. Let me ruffle through my notes here. Last week I mentioned Arizona, November 2nd, their Prop 203. Also mentioned Colorado, November 7th, their Ballot Amendment 20. Hawaii, as of 2000, Senate Bill 862. Maine, as of 1999, mm-hmm. Ballot Question Number 2. And Maryland, 2003, theirs is the Medical Marijuana Affirmative Defense Law. Did you want to say something, Mark, before I started rattling off this week's list?
No, I'm looking at the same things, and there's a lot of interesting numbers. I brought in some interesting numbers, too. I don't want to bore people with a bunch of facts and figures, but it is interesting, the correlation between the states. It's just interesting to me.
Absolutely. Okay, well, let me move right along then. First one this week, and actually, it's on this other side of this piece of paper that I skipped last week. It is Alaska, November 3rd, 1998, and they have Initiative 8. That actually passed with 58% of the votes.
So, you know how many legal patients there are in Alaska?
How many?
380.
Wow. That's not that many.
No, it's not.
They all probably know each other, huh?
Listen, it's 0.05%, 0.05, which means like less than 0.1%.
Well, what up, Alaska?
What's the population of Alaska? Do you know?
I do not know. I can't pull that out of my head. Let's look on the internet and find out the population.
Hey.
We could call Sarah Palin. That. She knows what's up.
Sarah Palin would be able to tell us.
Maybe she would not know what's up.
Population in Alaska.
This guy has a phone.
He just spoke into his phone right now. What's going on?
Are you kidding me, right?
It's incredible. Flowerbed Fred has all the latest gadgets. While he's looking that up, I'm going to continue with this one. Michigan. Our Michigan, as it's also known, November 4th, 2008, Proposal 1 is the name of their bill. Montana, November 2nd, 2004, Initiative 148.
698,000.
Oh, go ahead. No, 698,000?
698,000 is the population in Alaska.
Okay, there you go. There's our answer for that. And how many did I rattle off here so far today, Mark? Was that
four?
Four, so I got one left. And finally, on the list for this week is Nevada. November 7, 2000. Theirs is kind of stranger. Ballot question 9 / Assembly Bill 453. So that's our group for this week out there. There will be a test at the end of the show, Mark, so I hope you took notes.
You know I took notes. What were we talking about last week? We were talking about pineapple
juice. Yes.
We're not going to revisit that this week, though. That's about it for right now. Going to come back to you in just a minute. Good start of the show. We're going to come back around in just a couple of minutes. In the meantime, stick with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Prop 215 Info Center Radio Podcast. Listen to Mark Gray, the director of Prop 215 Info Center, located in downtown Modesto, California, next door to the Historic State Theater. Mikey, what's going on, brother man?
How is it going, Mr. Mark Gray?
It's going well, as always. Mo, good. What's up, brother?
You know, same old, same old.
Can I say, Mark, make a note of Mo's jacket here? He looks very Grease Lightning tonight, doesn't he?
You know what? He was.
I'm looking for the T-Birds, man. Where are they at?
I was walking behind him, and this guy's got like a 4 foot shoulders, and I got like a foot and a half my whole width, and this guy's like, he's like 7 of me.
I like the jacket, though, Mo. Can I say I like it?
It's very nice. You know, that's how they roll. You know, there's
it's got some kind of bedazzler action going on
like
the back.
A pop star, you know what I mean?
Bigger, I told you, you're my Bieber. This is my Justin Bieber right here. I got Bieber fever. Right.
You got Mo fever is what you got.
As sad as I am to say that, I know.
Coming back in, well, let's talk about...
I'll tell you what, Mark. What we can talk about is a story that I read last week that we didn't get to last week on last week's podcast. But Amsterdam deciding that they're going to ban tourists from their coffee shops or where you go get your
pot
your,
stores. Your,
yeah, exactly. By the end of the year. So that essentially means that the cannabis cup and all that other exciting stuff that happens down there, and the reason why us uppity Americans go over there, fly over there and hang out is so that we can go to the coffee shops, get high and hang out.
And we were talking about all that, and we were talking about how it was going to damage the economy of Amsterdam.
It has to.
But interestingly enough, since why we didn't talk about it last week, but it's all good.
You have to be an Amsterdamian, by the way, to be able to go into the coffee shops. Is Amsterdamian a real word?
But I found out that's not true. What I found out, there was a young man that came in the info center.
Talk to me.
He came in the info center 2 days ago with a patient, and clearly from Amsterdam. He'd been in this country for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. We were talking about getting him a green card and all kinds of things like that. And I brought that up to him. I said, dude, you know, we're hearing that the Amsterdam's shutting down the coffee shops to tourists. Mm-hmm. He said, no. They're shutting down the coffee shops to tourists on the border towns, but you get into Amsterdam, then it's fine. You can still go in those stores.
Well, that article I read was totally deceiving then.
Apparently, because he'd been here 2 weeks and he was aware of what was going on in Amsterdam. He said, no, you can still go in the coffee shops in Amsterdam.
Well, that's
but
good
if it's
news.
On the borders, because their fear is that the drugs will get out of the country. That's how he wound the whole thing up.
Well, the evil green monster is going to come get us?
Apparently, yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, we can also move the cannabis cup over to Mosterdam. You know what I mean?
You know what? I think it's about time that we bring that event over here to California anyways. In my opinion, I think it would flourish here in California.
Well, no. I'm not saying it does bad there, but I'm just saying.
I agree with that.
I like what Mo said, too.
I second that. I agree completely, 100%. The cup should be here in California.
I think that would be huge for California, for sure.
I think we ought to have the cup right in Mo's living room.
I think there's probably a cup held in Mo's living room every night, probably, every weekend.
They do a have a medical marijuana cup, cannabis cup, that's held in Los Angeles.
I did not know
and
that.
And San Francisco.
I guess I'm just not on the email list, I guess.
But it's just not as infamous as
right.
Brings us to the next topic, Mikey. Attorney General Eric Holder suggested Thursday that they're going to try and work with the politicians in Rhode Island to work out some kind of a way that they can cohabitate, federal law and the state law could cohabitate. He went on to say that he's going to try and work with all the states, which would be our state as well, California, to end the raids on medical marijuana dispensaries, work something out with the states that he would allow to do that.
So just so I'm clear here, Mark, that that would mean essentially that these dispensaries here in California and other states that where it's legal, they'll be able to operate and function without worry and concern of federal agents coming in and busting down with guns and whatnot.
Yeah, with apparent immunity.
Wow. Well, that you know what? That's got to, if you're in the dispensary industry specifically, that's got to be almost a sigh of relief if that ends up happening.
Because he promises about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and what's up with that?
Honestly, I love my country, but I'm scared to death of how we're being run right now.
Well, all we can really do, guys, is hope for the best and hope that this is the time that it actually comes to fruition.
It has to be the time. I mean, you know, the whole world got together this week and talked about how we have a failed drug policy worldwide.
Tell us about that.
And George Shultz, who was in the cabinet of President Nixon in the 70s and then President Reagan in the 80s, most conservative guy in the world, he wrote a lot of the drug policy of this country. And he's saying now in this World Council, we're wrong in what we're doing. We're, it's a war on people, not a war on drugs. And the money being pumped in, the billions and billions of billions of dollars, wasted lives, just everything about it is just not right. And so the world comes out now with this conference and says, we need to revisit this issue. Eric Holder saying we need to revisit this issue. Barney Frank, Democrat from Massachusetts, and he has a Republican counterpart, we need to revisit this issue. State of California, there's a new ballot measure coming out in 2012, Regulate Marijuana Like Wine Act of 2012. We need to revisit this issue. There's a lot going on right now. And I tell you what, Mo and I and Mikey were talking just a second ago off the mic. It changes so fast, it's like, if you want to get interested in something, you get interested in medical cannabis, and you'll get so addicted just to learning about it. I mean, it's incredible to me.
Well, and actually, another hot word this past week is hemp.
Yes, big time, big time.
Tell us about what you found that out about this week.
The state of California, they passed a Senate bill, I don't have the bill number with me. Unfortunately, I can get it, though.
Maybe we can look that up while we're talking.
Would y'all look that up for me? It's a Senate bill. They just passed it through the state Senate.
Everybody's phones came out.
That they're allowing industrial hemp to grow in California. Now, it's not passed yet. It has to go through another process. And then the governor, Governor Brown, again, I love Governor Brown. I hope he sticks with us on this. He'll pass legislation to allow industrial hemp in California. Folks, what we're talking about here is putting California farmers back to work. What we're talking about here is improving the greenhouse effect. What we're talking about here is not having to import hemp products from Canada any longer. We can grow our own, which I think is an awesome thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's numerous amounts of benefits. I mean, we spoke about this in past shows about Mr. Jack Hare's book and The Emperor Wears No Clothes.
Yes.
And he goes into great detail
the
benefits of us utilizing hemp, which is it's not, you can't smoke it and get high, by the way. There's such low amounts of CBD and THC in it that there's nothing there. It'll give you a headache.
Yeah.
So essentially all it's good for is a whole lot of other things.
Mo, did you
we have
that?
An answer? Okay, here we go.
Yeah, actually, the California State Senate voted 22-14 today to pass the SB 676.
And what will that do, Mo? Says it'll legalize industrial hemp.
Yeah.
And now they have to go through one or two more hoops. What did it say at the end? Jerry Brown has to sign off on it, but then there's one other group that has to approve on it.
Hang on 1 second.
He's looking it up. Well, he's looking that up, though, Mark. I mean, you were rattling off all kinds of benefits when we were off the mic earlier before we started the show and we were talking about this topic.
You know, if you look at the beneficial aspects of hemp, I'm talking about just the seeds. People are eating seeds because the amino acids, all the things our body needs are contained in those little seeds. We're also talking about hemp protein powder. It's incredible.
Actually, I got that information.
Okay, well, hold on to that for us, Mo, because we're going to take a break here. I think that's a good place to start off when we come back.
Yes, and I'll tell you what, y'all are listening to Mark, Director of Prop 215 Info Center, coming to you live from Eagle downtown Modesto, California, right next door to Historic State Theater. And folks, hang around because you're about to get a little education on industrial hemp, and we'll be right back. Info Center Radio Podcast. Listen to Mark Gray, the director of Prop 215 Info Center, located in beautiful downtown Modesto, California, right next door to Storch State Theater. Mikey, hello, friend.
Yo, what's happening, Mr. Mark Gray?
Mo, what's going on, Mo?
Big things.
You know, we just left you. We were talking about industrial hemp, and Mo got on his faithful iPhone, and what's that Senate bill number again, Mo?
Actually, that's... We know that Mark Leno wrote the actual bill, and it just needs to go through Governor Jerry Brown for it to become law.
There's one other thing that has to go through another part of the branch.
House of Representatives.
Yeah. State House Representatives.
It's Senate SB 676.
SB stands for Senate Bill 676, just like Senate Bill 420, same thing, Senate Bill. So basically, we are knocking on the verge of the door of legalizing industrial hemp in this state. Huge financial benefit for the state of California, and I pray that those people up in Sacramento will realize the financial impact of money flowing into California and out of California by exporting this stuff.
So if hemp gets legalized, then medical marijuana would be next, right?
Well, it should be. Yeah.
Well, that's a logical next step. But I mean, you know, even if you just take the issue of medical marijuana and the female smokable plant, you take that out of the picture and you just talk about hemp and only hemp and hemp alone, which is, again, you can't smoke it to get high.
Right.
You just give yourself a headache and,
right.
and you probably make yourself throw up because it tastes so nasty. And just, I mean, you know what, Mark? I'm just, I can't even, I mean, we can look it up and start rattling off some more benefits here. That's the stoner in me, I guess. I mean, you know, it's going to make a tremendous, tremendous difference in the economy.
Some quick numbers on the hemp, actually. I was reading the other day that there is actually 25,000 different uses for hemp, and that's 25,000 different
wow.
industries, and each industry having thousands of jobs opening.
Yes.
That's times that by times whatever numbers you can, I just mentioned, that's
right.
millions of jobs created.
Economy.
Not
yeah,
only
know,
all the farming that's going to be created.
Yeah, new and the jobs. And here's one more thing, too, that everybody needs to get on board with. It creates biodiesel. When you have hemp making your biodiesel, the price of diesel right now, truckers are being eaten alive by the price of diesel. Yeah, for diesel. Truckers,
diesel.
Independent truckers are dying.
It's a game changer.
Willie Nelson has a biodiesel plant in just south of Dallas, and truckers roll through there and buy his biodiesel, and it is a game changer. It would lower down the cost of trucking our produce, trucking our goods and services all across the country, which means that would cover those lower prices.
And we can grow almost anything in California. Almost anything
yeah.
can be grown here in California. That's how great the soil is out here.
Yeah.
So why shouldn't we be producing this plant that has all these benefits and no dangers? I mean, there's nothing. I mean, you're talking clothes too, Mark. They can make clothes out of it.
Yeah.
Paper.
Mo, you brought up an excellent point about the Declaration of Independence. Or those documents are all written on hemp paper,
yeah.
and they're all in excellent condition. Because if they were written on any other kind of paper, wood paper, the paper we make today,
pulp,
they'd be destroyed.
No,
they'd be incinerated.
Yep.
They're coming after us.
At least start hearing talking about legalizing hemp. You know, come on now. We were talking about the protein powder. We were talking about the benefits of eating the seeds. And these are not...
Moisturizer oils.
Moisturizing oils. There's thousands. In fact, 1938, if you watch The Union, we'll go back to The Union. Everything seems to reference back to The Union, Adam Scorgi's film. If you go back to The Union... in 1938, Popular Science is still a magazine that's out today. In 1938, Popular Science said 25,000 products, the new billion-dollar crop. In 1938, the word $1 billion didn't even come into to talk about. They were just coming out of the Depression. There was no money. They said $1 billion crop in 1938.
Wow.
In today's numbers, if you extrapolated $1 billion in 1938, that'd be $1 trillion in numbers today. $1 trillion crop.
That's a lot of money.
A trillion.
I know this country, I know this state needs jobs. I can't address the rest of the country, but we need jobs. And this is going to be a game changer.
Well, Royal Hymas just what did you say,
25,000 different uses for hemp.
Okay, start with number one and work up to 25,000.
Okay. Actually, I was just thinking hemp's rival, cotton.
Yep.
I can think of, maybe seven tops different uses for cotton.
Yep.
You
wow.
know? And
cotton versus hemp. Grr.
Oh, cotton.
The matchup of the century.
The same thing. That's what Randolph Hearst started with. He owned the forests up in Washington. He didn't want to be using hemp. He wanted to use his own forest trees for paper for his newspaper. Can we run through some benefits right here?
Let's do this.
Because of all the nutrients and benefits, a hemp seed are numerous. Hemp seed, folks, not marijuana seed, but hemp seed. Amino acids are called the building blocks of life because they rebuild and repair tissues and organs. Amazing to me.
It's our spinach. It's like we're Popeye, and that's our spinach.
Omega fatty acids are many other benefits, helping weight loss because they produce long-term appetite satisfaction. They also help the cardiovascular, immune, reproductive, central nervous system. It goes on and on, man.
W-O-W, wow, Mark, is all I can say on that
one. Big Pharma's in trouble.
You know, that's why we've been held up
incorporate
all these
it.
Years.
Incorporate it, though. I mean, I don't understand. Incorporate it. Why does anybody have to be in trouble? We still need farmers to farm it, right?
Yeah. I'm about to open up a hemp protein smoothie shop down there.
I'm ready. I'm your first customer.
I'm being serious, man.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I've been seeing a lot of action in the bodybuilding community with hemp products, hemp protein.
Really?
And the
yeah,
fatty acids.
It's on the bodybuilding magazines
yeah.
now. They're
yeah, like
highly
you
advertised.
Like you so just named, Mark.
Who's producing the hemp right now?
If Canada.
Is that where it's coming? It's being
yeah.
imported from
imported.
Canada?
Yeah.
Okay.
Canada also supplies Los Angeles with about 80% of their electricity.
Really quick, speaking of Canada, I have to say this word up to Adam Scorgi, our guest a few
yeah.
weeks back, and star and producer of The Business of Getting High.
Yep.
He gave us an excellent little comment there on our Facebook. So,
oh, did he?
You mentioned Canada, made the connection, yeah. And I'm going to give some more shout-outs to later to our Facebook friends who've made comments. But just, again, wanted to say thanks again to Adam for
making
that comment.
No, we got a big invite from him to come see him in Canada, you know what I mean?
Oh, did you really? Where's my invite?
We all did. You got invited too, dude.
Oh, well, I'm ready to go, man. Anytime you guys want to go, I'm there.
I know. He had a club up there that I'd like to venture into too. We won't talk about that.
Do they serve pineapple juice, Mark? Sorry.
Yeah, no pineapple juice.
Your guys are horrible. That's why I love you. We'll be right back. We'll be listening to Prop 215 Info Center Radio Podcast coming to you live from beautiful downtown Modesto, California, right next door to Storch State Theater. Give us 2 minutes. We'll be right back with more good education.
We'll be back in 2 and 2.
Prop 215 Info Center Radio Podcast. You're listening to Mark Gray, the director of Prop 215 Info Center, coming to you live from beautiful downtown Modesto, California, right next door to Historic State Theater. Mikey, hello again, brother.
Go, Grease Lightning, go. What's happening, man?
What's up, Bo?
Yo, you know.
He's a T-Bird. Mo's a T-Bird.
A T-Bird, huh? Come on now. I'll see you Sandy right now.
I call him a hot rod.
Sweet summer love.
When we left before, we were talking about industrial hemp and the benefits of industrial hemp. And oddly enough, we're sitting here in a room full of geniuses. I know because I deal with these guys every week.
Minus me.
One guy, Royal Hymas, he is an agricultural student. He's going to tell us more about the benefits of hemp. We'll get into that a little bit. Then we're going to get into a little bit more, grow with Mo. What's up, Hymas?
I'll tell you what, guys. I'm pumped about this whole hemp thing going on here in California. If that passes, it's a miracle, in my opinion. It's going to change everything. When you drive out into the country, you're going to be seeing a totally different horizon. One thing I was reading about the other day is comparing hemp to cotton. It actually uses about half the water that cotton uses.
Really?
Actually, wow. And also, hemp pretty much mainly only requires nitrogen. Uses about a third of the nitrogen that cotton uses. There's actually a drying process I was reading about the other day telling me when you dry the hemp, it can actually return the nitrogen to the soil. So not affecting the soil or changing it in any way. Actually benefiting the soil.
What? Now, you want to hear something even more interesting? In Russia, Chernobyl, y'all were even born yet, they had a meltdown of a nuclear power plant in Chernobyl, Russia, and they planted hemp to clean the ground, and it cleaned the ground of the radiation. I read it last week.
Wow.
Yeah, I read that too.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's a cleanser, yeah.
Yeah, it cleans it. And when you leave, when you get the soil, I don't mean to interrupt you, but when you come back with the soil after growing hemp, your soil is better off than before. Mm-hmm. That's what's amazing to me.
Yeah, it's a miracle plant, definitely. I think it'll change this economy to such an extreme that we wouldn't even, like I said earlier, thousands and thousands of jobs will be created from that.
And if the health industry gets a hold of the amino acids and all the things that the hemp seeds produce, I've read a lot on those too. The people that eat hemp seeds just straight up eat the seeds because the amino acids and all the building blocks of the human body and all that thing, which is huge, It can't do anything but help us. I still believe it was created by one guy, and he decided it would help the entire human race, and that's why he put it on the planet.
And he made me to help grow it.
In spite of our Attorney General Eric Holder. Now, we're going to talk about a couple named John and Judy. They're patients of ours, John and Judy. They called me up today earlier, and they were having issues with their outdoor grow. And the deal was that she said to me, you know, these things are creating, they're cross-pollinating, they're turning hermaphrodites, and they're dropping seeds like crazy. She said, what's going on? I said, you know, Judy, I have no clue, but I'm going to get the answer for you. And I searched around a little bit, and look who I turned up, Mr. Mo. And we were talking about this earlier. Weather is a big problem right now, Mo.
Weather is definitely a big problem.
This season,
we got tornadoes in Sacramento. Yep. We got snow last week in the mountains. Yep. Come on, you know, that's crazy. You know what I mean?
It's June, people.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen, and what scares me is this last week, actually, I've had a lot of calls and a lot of consults on outdoor.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to get a hold of my boy Flowerbed.
Yep.
But he was nowhere to be found. Where were you, Flowerbed?
I was on my way to Amsterdam, but then I heard that they stopped the coffee shops for the tourists, so I flew back, and I completely missed you during that time.
And I just told you that you could have gone on with your trip to Amsterdam.
You would have saved me a lot of money, Mark,
on the move. I like it.
I mean, being that Flowerbed's the outdoor expert, let me ask you, Flowerbed, what is your opinion on that? And then I'll give you my expertise.
Well, first, I would ask if she started from seed or from clone.
She started from seed, I believe.
Well, then,
seriously, I believe
she might have had non-feminized seeds.
Okay, then she started from clone.
That could be. If she had clone, then they could probably definitely be from the weather.
Well, you know, I'm going to probably say, just because I've had 3 or 4 consults this last week, and I really, really blame the weather, just for the simple reason is that these plants are either stunted, they're not growing, they're not dropping roots. The fluctuation of the temperature is stretching the plant to the point where they're actually budding now.
That's what she said. She said that the stress is creating the bud, and that's what started the whole mess. And it's a problem for her. And her main concern was she wants to get rid of all those
she's gonna have
hermaphrodites, but she was worried if she puts her new crop in, if those would be affected by that at all.
Well, she may want to maybe cleanse the area that she had her plants in, because they could have released some type of pollen.
What's the best way to clean indoor area? We're talking outdoor now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know what?
Best way to clean that.
Personally, what I would do, I would kind of redo the whole ground.
I believe she's in a greenhouse.
Oh, she's in a greenhouse.
I believe.
Underground, or is she on tables?
Well, the ground.
Some kind of flower beds?
The ground is what I'm thinking.
I would probably, man, in that case, I would probably scrape off the layer of the ground, and then probably, if it was me, I would redo it with a new type of medium, for example, dirty roots or right. any type of other medium, kind of give it a layer of
and I know that,
quality
I know that, yeah, I know
soil.
That John and Judy listened to our program, and John, he's mentioned dirty roots. You've heard us talk about dirty roots. I would like for us to give John some dirty roots and let him try it.
I would like them to contact me through the show, so whatever, so they feel comfortable.
They contact me. No problem.
I would be more than happy to go out there and give them a full consultation.
Give it up for Mo. Wow.
These people, they are strong supporters of Prop 215 Info Center, and they were here the night that Steve Covey and all those.
I want to say I met
the
them. They were sitting
yes.
in this. Yeah, I did meet them. Yes.
A couple about my age, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, he owns a Mustang business, so if anybody out there has Mustang needing work on, he's your guy, too. But John and Judy both are very awesome people. They're so sincere. They're so supportive of what we're doing out here. So I will get a hold of them. They'll listen to this when we put it out. In the meantime, I'll get a hold of them, and
well,
I'll let them know.
Also, too, Mark, what I want to add is the outdoor environment. Right now, what's going on with this temperature fluctuation is pretty much what's going to happen. A lot of these plants are going to be stunted. What's going to happen also with the future or the next couple of months is if we have this type of weather continuing,
yeah.
we're going to have low yields for these outdoor guys, heavy mold issues. What is your opinion on that? Well, Hymus, he had a good idea on that or comment on it.
Well, I see it as being a good indoor season, in my opinion.
It's going to be a fantastic indoor. It's an advantage for the grower,
yep,
being because the temperatures are low. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
You don't have to run their AC so much or have to...
I didn't think about that. You're right.
The past 2 years have gone to outdoor, I will admit, but this year is going to be 100% indoor. The outdoor market is going to be terrible. Everybody needs... Buyer beware. Definitely, when outdoor comes down, be careful because there is going to be a flourish of molds, a flourish of airy buds, a flourish of just terrible, terrible
if they finish, you know what I mean? Because
yeah,
the way things are going, we could have some type of rain drop down in August, September. And if that's the case, plants are going to be budding already. So that's where he talks about the mold.
My outdoor is looking beautiful right now. I don't know what any of you guys are talking about.
Come on
about.
Now. I haven't seen, you know what?
Devil's advocate.
I actually, you know what?
As always.
I'm going to have to say that if he is, then he's doing something good.
Yeah, and bring it to me. I'll smoke it. I'll let you know when you're done with the crop.
Because, you know, I did do a consultation on somebody who's a reputable outdoor grower. And actually, he's having heavy issues.
Yeah,
where the plants are actually stunted. And actually, what a lot of problems that people are doing is actually overwatering.
We talked about that. Explain what you're talking about there, because
again, the plant isn't growing as fast as it should be. So people are actually overwatering because they're used to a cycle of doing things.
Right.
And if not, they're over-fertilizing. If not, they're actually adding too much compost.
So what you're saying then, if I'm a grower outside and my plants aren't going up as fast as they ought to be, like I've seen year in, year out, how they're supposed to grow, which I haven't, but if I did, then you're saying that I freak out because they're not growing as they should, so yeah, I add more.
So they try to say, well, I'm going to add what they're doing to over-fertilizing, Mark, is what they're doing.
In hopes that they'll get them a jump start, but what it's doing is burning the plants up too, isn't it?
It is.
That's a big problem.
Well, I have a question, and we can answer this, Mo, when we get back. But my question is, I'll ask you now so you can think about it during the break, is there hope? Can we do anything where we sit now?
In my opinion, there's no hope.
Oh, whoa.
This is going to be a really bad year for outdoor, and I'm forecasting that.
Okay, well, let's let you talk more about that in a minute.
You heard it live right here, Mo's forecast. Hey, we'll be right back with you. Thanks for listening. This is Mark, Prop 215 Info Center Radio Podcast, coming to you live from beautiful downtown Modesto, California, right next door to Historic State Theater, and we'll be right back with you. And Mo is going to step up and say, what's up with the summertime grow? We'll be right back. Prop 215 Info Center Radio Podcast. You're listening to Mark Gray, the director of Prop 215 Info Center. And as you know, we're coming to you live from beautiful downtown Modesto, California, right next door to the Historic State Theater. Mikey, what's up, brother?
Yo, word up, Mr. Mark Gray.
It's going well. Mike Mo over there?
Oh, concerned. Very concerned.
Go, Grease Lightning. Go, Grease Lightning.
Can you guys put the curtain back up over the front of the building here? The women are lining up for his darn motor for his damn...
Well, they're out waiting out there so I can come out, so I can do some little autographs and they can take me out to dinner.
You know, it's 11:30 on Friday night and we're doing this show 11:30 at night down here, and there is a line forming out there. So
TMZ's here.
Yeah, whoa, what's up?
Yeah.
When we left earlier, we were talking to Mo, and Mikey had posed one question to Mo, and Mikey wants you to revisit that question and get us started up here.
My question once again, Mr. Mo, was is there hope? Is there hope for outdoor growers? Can they have a successful crop even though we're dealing with all these crazy weather issues?
It's going to be a challenge. But yeah, you can get something out of your outdoor. It's not going to be the biggest yielding crop, or probably the resin levels aren't going to be as good as previous years. But yeah, with some decent medium and different practices and techniques, yeah, they could be a hope.
Flowerbed Fred, since you're the outdoor guy, do you want to add to this? Do you want to give any input?
Of course there's hope. Just take care of your stuff. You got to stay on top of the mold issues like Mo was saying earlier.
And if you do have a mold issue, Mo has the product to fix it.
What is that product again?
Incinerate.
Sounds devastating.
You know, it's actually, I believe I might have mentioned it in previous podcasts, where it's actually a fungicide, pesticide, insecticide, and a miticide also. It battles pretty much every insect and also molds.
And it's non-chemical.
It's very organic, all organic.
That's just amazing to me. And we're going to have that product available with our Grow with Mo School as well, correct?
Most definitely.
Having said that, are we going to lay the outdoor grow to rest for the summer? Well, not for the summer, but at least for this show?
We definitely need to be following up with it, though, and keep an eye on this weather as the weeks go on.
Actually, I would like to definitely keep on top of it, just because, I mean, there's going to be many, many challenges that growers are going to have.
You guys, if you have those challenges on the outdoor grow right now, it's growwithmo@gmail.com.
That's it. Shoot it over to us. Give us those questions.
We get a lot of questions. And we'll be glad to follow up on any question you may pose to Mo, because again, our goal is to give you the best, highest quality medicine that you can produce at the lowest possible cost.
I mean, there's going to be different challenges as far as, you know, nutrition, as far as there's a big issue what people are using right now, but I'm not going to get into that because that's going to be a lengthy one. It's about carbo loading. I would like to get into that here in the next following podcast.
Sounds a good idea, man.
He just went completely over my head.
I know. Carbo loading.
It's carbohydrates.
Right.
Your plants utilize carbohydrates.
There's a myth out there. People use molasses in their growing techniques, but I want to discuss that issue in detail here in the next coming weeks.
Let's do that.
Great.
Let's visit that. We're going to go now to
the tip of the week.
The legal tip of the week. Brought to you by
the legal tip of the week.
We have so much fun down here. I can't stand it. This is coming to you from the Guidelines for the Security and Non-Diversion of Marijuana Grown for Medical Use, August 2008. And how many times have I had to tell y'all? Edmund G. Brown, Jr., Attorney General at that time. He is now our governor, and we're expecting big things from Governor Brown. And you know, Governor Brown, I hope that I have the day to meet you someday, because I think that you have a good heart on what we're trying to get accomplished here. It comes from that, and here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about collectives should acquire, possess, and distribute only lawfully cultivated marijuana. Is there such a thing as lawfully cultivated marijuana? Yes.
There is.
Absolutely. If you're licensed to grow, you can grow. Collectives and cooperatives should acquire marijuana only from the constituent members, because only marijuana grown by a qualified patient or his primary caregiver may lawfully be transported by or distributed to other members of a collective or cooperative. Pretty simple. It's supposed to be a closed loop. If Mo has a medical marijuana recommendation, Mo can grow for a certain number of patients. And if you guys out there are growers and you would like to learn more about growing for our collective group, contact me, because we have grower permits that we're issuing to certain people that are, I believe, are qualified, and we can get you up and get you running, because the city of Modesto has told us we can't offer it for sale, and that's foul with me, but we do have legal standing here to help our patients, and that's what we intend to do by letting as many people that want to learn how to grow properly, grow with the right tools, grow with the right knowledge, and that's what the Grow School is about. But in addition to that, if you would like a grower's exemption, hit me up, let me know, we'll talk about that.
Would I be considered a caregiver?
No. A caregiver is someone that, for instance, if I had a wife at home, and if my wife had cancer and she was unable to get to the clubs, and I didn't smoke medical cannabis, I would become her caregiver, which would give me the legal right to go to the cannabis clubs and purchase for her. And I'll tell you what, that's been really, from what I've learned, it's been really abused in the state of California. So a lot of doctors are shying away from the caregiver the assignment, I'll call it. They were not wanting to get that deep into that, because you don't put people in a situation that's going to hurt them legally, and that's what everybody's concerned with as far as the caregiver part. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. Now, if you are a caregiver, you can grow for your patient. That's no problem. But to get a caregiver assignment in this day and age, 2011, a lot of doctors aren't doing that at all. They're shying away from that because their medical licenses are online. And we want to be sure that whoever signed up for a medical recommendation is indeed a medical patient.
Okay.
That covered our tip of the week. Miss Brandy?
The legal tip of the week!
So it has to be a closed loop, folks. That's all we're saying. You can't just go out there and start growing marijuana. You have to have a, you have to be a member of a collective to sell it to the collective or to transport it for the collective. And again, if you're a grower and you want some help in that regard, contact me down here at the Info Center. I'll work something out with you. Because we want you to be safe in what you're doing, and we want you also to help out our patient base.
And by the way, you have, you mentioned this, I think it's been a long, quite a few shows past, but you have an entire wall dedicated to everybody's laws and rights. Yeah. So if you have any questions, this wall is a great place to at least start.
And I tell you what, I spend so much time. If you spend enough time in any one subject, you get pretty good at it. And I do spend a lot of time on the legal side.
And by the way, that's the wall here at the Prop 215 Info Center. It's not the wall at your bathroom or your at home or anything. So right. just to clarify.
Thank you. It's at the Prop 215 Info Center, downtown Beautiful Modesto, California, right next door to Historic State there. 1303 J Street. You can come down and say, Mark, I got a question about legals. Let's go on the wall and look at it because they're posted right up there. Every law having to do with medical cannabis is on our wall. And when I first started the Info Center, that was the purpose, was to educate people, not to get doctor recommendations, but it morphed into doctor recommendations. But my original intention was to make it a legal center where people could come in and know their rights, because without, you know, knowledge is power, but not understanding our rights is a disaster for us.
And they can also come and see my picture also.
That's right.
You got the wall mo here.
And I can even show you his official. I've got it under glass at my desk. It's his official autograph stamp. I keep it under glass. And then he has to come and check it out whenever he has the lady standing out front like they're doing now.
Incredible.
Yes, it is incredible. Where else are we going with this, Mikey?
That pretty much wraps up, man. Just the last few things I want to mention before we head on out and end show number 10. I'm excited to say that. You just mentioned this a little minute ago, but I'll re-mention it. TheGrowWithMo@gmail.com. That's how you can reach us. Any questions for the show, any comments for the show, please give us a shout out there. Also, yes. On the Prop 215 Info Center Facebook, where the show is posted every week, there's been some lovely people who have been leaving some lovely comments and giving us the thumbs up, the approval, to saying that they like the show. So I just want to give them a quick shout out, if you don't mind.
And there's one more thing too. If you're a medical cannabis patient, and if you know the folks down here at Prop 215 Info Center, we would really appreciate you going on to our Facebook page and writing a little testimonial for us, just your opinion of how you were treated as a patient and how you're treated as a follow-up patient, and just let us know what's on your mind, good, bad, or the ugly. Just let us know.
Also, you want to add, you know, that promo that I'm offering, you know, whoever's a testimonial or comment they send out to us to the Grow With Mo show, I'm willing to pick those out and come out and see them and give them
consultations. Mo's way. Yeah, and that's going to be at no cost to whoever can qualify for that.
Whoever has the best story.
That's just huge. Yeah. That's just absolutely huge. And I want to say one more time, John and Judy, thank you so much for contacting me on this issue with your plants in the outdoor grow. And I hope that Mo has addressed that. In the meantime, I'm going to put you guys together so that Mo can come over to you guys' house, John and Judy, and check out your situation and put you on the right path, because I know how challenging it is. Indoor, outdoor, it's all a challenge, and Mo will put you on the right path. And I'm going to contact you. Well, I just want to say thank you for contacting me, because if I don't hear from you, I can't help you guys.
And continuing with them, thanks. The Facebook people, Brandy, Lauren, Aaron, Sarah, and I mentioned earlier, Adam Scorgi had some nice words for the podcast show. Miss Janine, Victoria, and Hymus, he's sitting right here with us. He also gave us a
and John
up.
And John also. John, he was the gentleman that had the legal issue. Gave us a real nice notation on Facebook page, too. And we're using those testimonials. The reason I'm asking for them is we're using them on our main page of our website, so we can post those up there. We're going to put your full name, first name, your last name, just your first name and your initial PQ, whatever your initial is for your last name. That's pretty much it, isn't it, Mikey?
That's it. That's show number 10. I think we should all put our hands together right now.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! Another good show. I'll tell you what.
What a podcast team. I'll tell you that right now.
A bunch
of geniuses here.
Now you just quoted me. We're going to call it a night tonight, folks. It's Friday night, June the 3rd, and we're going to say goodnight to you. And if you have any questions, please growwithmo.com. Pardon me. growwithmo@gmail.com, and we'll get those answered for you. We're going to come back to you next week. You're listening to Mark, Mikey, Mo, and all of our guests up here in the studio saying thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
Yeah.
This has been another MM Voice Pro podcast production. MMVoicePro@gmail.com.
Sit, Sativa, sit. Good.